that really happened in heaven, talking about the 144,000. Near it is, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their forehead. Now, I would like to be very clear about this. There's never been a specific truth coming out on this particular chapter. There's been a lot of ideas, but the Jews, as much as I love them, do not fit this picture in any way, shape, or form. Now I'll read the chapter and then tell you what I saw in heaven. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, the voice of a great thunder. Heard a voice of harps harping with their harps. And they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne. Now how could it be before? They're already in heaven. I positively show you how. And before the four beasts, now here they were already there. John saw them already. Four beasts. And the elders, and no man could learn that song, but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth, not redeemed. And they sang, and these are they which were not defiled with women. Now, according to the records, in Israel, there's only 2% virgins in the whole country, both men and women. So how could they get 144,000? Impossible. And they are virgins. Now, a virgin is a person that's never been with man or with woman, like the Virgin Mary. And they which follow the Lamb, now they followed the Lamb. Now, there's no record of that many 144,000 Jews following the Lamb wherever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and of the Lamb. And in their mouth found no guile, and they are without fault before the throne of God. Now it's impossible now to go on the earth and find any 144,000 people all over the whole world without fault. Impossible. You see, John on Patmos, in his teachings and his readings of what he saw, had to be discerned by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and every nation, kindred, and tongue. This is the part that I've been given a part of, to preach this gospel through telling about heaven into every nation, and everyone, every nation. Now, these 144,000, I definitely saw them in heaven, and Jesus with them. And they were there already. And they're certainly not the blessed Jews coming out of Israel, because you couldn't find 144,000 virgins in Israel, because they're just not there, no way. They're just not there. But these are ones that have not been defiled by women. With a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven, the earth, and the sea, and the fountains of water. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she had made all nations drunk of the wine of the wrath of fornication. And the third angel followed, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast, now, what was Babylon? Babylon definitely is the beast. The money system is Babylon. The present money system is Babylon, the way it works. It's made to absolutely make the rich wealthier and not to help in any way the poor. The Babylonian system is the worst system. And we're still under that Babylonian system without a question. third angel followed him, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast, in other words, worship the Babylonian system, if any man worship the great power of money, here's what it says, and the image, and receive his mark in his forehead, his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night, that will worship the beast, an image, and worship, receiveth a mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they which keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit. Very, very clear. Very ones. This is the clear ones that it never even had a man or a woman. These are those. And it goes on to say as we listen to this. Now I'm going to tell you what I saw in heaven. From their labors and their works that follow them. I looked and behold, a white cloud. Upon the white cloud sat one like unto the Son of Man, having his head in a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice unto him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle, and reap, for the time is come to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, having is in heaven, having a sharp sickle. Another angel came out, having from the altar, having power over fire, and cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sword, thrust in thy sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in the sickle in the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and the blood came out of the winepress even unto the horses' bridles, for the space of a thousand and hundred furthings. So, friends, I've read this scripture to show when I was in heaven, there were angels in charge of the gospel, charged to the last days now to thrust in the sickle upon this earth, because this is the day of the Lord. In 1988 or any time, 50 or go back in the old century, it had been possible to communicate to the whole world like you can today. Impossible. So that person, the Central of Africa, the Central of South America, the Central of the Orient, he did not hear anything because there was no television, no radio, no ways of earthly communication to speak to the whole world as it is today. In other words, the earth was very much separated. The only reports you got, even when I was a young boy, was by 3 or 4 weeks afterwards, and it come through teletype, came through even to the days of Marconi, and it was very limited and very short. And even wars were won before people didn't even know a war was going on in such places. But today, in just a moment, just a few seconds, a report can come in from any part of the world. The battle's taking place. That's why this is the days of great communication. Now, under the old system of Babylon, it was a system of money exchange and a system of wealth in the hands of a privileged few. They controlled the wealth of the world, and it was Babylonian wealth. It was the way the Babylonian represents the richness of riches. And the man is absolutely walking the streets or whatever. He doesn't have one part in this because he's out of touch with the Babylonian system. But that was changing, very much changing. The wealth of the wicked, and this is a very wicked system because it's a jealous system. It's a system of what you would call corralling the wealth to their own gain. Yesterday, on tonight's news, they've indicted some of the Medicaid people who have been just putting millions into their own pocket, millions, which should belong, and the services, the medical services, some of the hospitals are so bad because all they want is the greed of money. And so they captured money, and they're wicked. But God's going to change that, friends. He's going to change it into a new system where the money of the wicked is going to be transferred over into the hands of righteous people that will handle it properly. Babel is going to fall. The money system is going to fall. It's falling now. It can't hold up. If we paid the debt of what we've made now in the trillions and trillions of dollars, the great, 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 great grandchildren to never pay for it. That's how deep we're in debt, and all it is paper money. And it has to be backed by a government. But they keep on getting more inflation, more debts, more inflation. But this system is definitely going to fall without a question. And the system is going to fall in the hands, going to fall into the hands of the righteous. Now, in heaven, here's the temple. Here are these angels in charge. Jesus was on a white cloud leading the 144,000 who, right in heaven. I saw them there, and he told me who they were, the 144,000. Now, how in the world could that be something that's going to happen in the future? No. There's going to be a rapture of the righteous, a rapture of the born again, a rapture of those who've been washed in the blood. And they're going to come up, and that's going to be the end of this old earth. Not too long after that, there'll be a tribulation, terrible time, and there'll be chaos and trouble because there'll be no real order. But now there's time for order, and it's happening. Very much is happening today. The sickle is being thrust in. Now, who would have thought 100 years ago that we get on a radio like I did at the world's Temple of Religion, the World's Fair, and spoke right after the Queen spoke, and I spoke to the whole earth back in 1939, to the whole world by radio, all over the whole world. This was such a spectacular event. Only large dignitaries or well-known dignitaries got on that radio, and they could hear them in Africa, China, all over the world. That was a world hookup of radio. And I was chosen by the different groups, the Protestants, the Catholics, and the Jews, to be the speaker, Temple of Religion, 1939, to speak to the world of the Temple of Religion. I was given the words that I was to speak on. And here's what it was: God's place in man's life. Oh, that was an easy one. A baby could preach a sermon like that. God's place in man's life, in his heart, of course. But now in heaven, these angels in this system. Now heaven is opening up to the earth. Is what happening? Heaven is opening up to the earth. What is happening? And the communication with satellite and with all the different pictures going from country to country in a flash, just a few seconds, and you can see the actual image of what's going on. That is spectacular. It's tremendous. So now heaven is beginning to come forth and show herself to the earth. Reports all over where people are getting visions of heaven, getting visions of angels. It's happening. The earth is waking up to the fact that there is a God, that there's a heaven, there's eternity, and there's a great time. And it's going to happen, not going to be too very much further when this whole combustion will take place. God is going to reveal himself through Jesus Christ to the earth. He's going to reveal himself through and by the Spirit of God. And in the temple where these angels were staying, and looking right at the throne. Archangels, tremendous angels. God is having them come out to thrust the sickle into the earth. What is the sickle? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, let's go back to the 1800s. Nothing like this ever happened. There was missionaries that went to a foreign land, and when they left, took them 6 months to get to some places. When they got there, they journeyed into the jungles, and you never heard any more of any of them after that. A lot of them were killed, and they had no way of communication to write a letter, and the letter would come after they'd been there 7 or 8 months here to get a letter. And that was lacking communication. But now, this is the day when the voice of the Lord is going to be heard in the whole earth. These angels living in the temple, worshiping God day and night. And there's a lot of them. A lot of them in there. They're archangels in there worshiping God in the temple. And they have power. One coming from the throne with power over fire. Now, the Bible clearly teaches that you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. There's the fire people upon this earth that believe, the word people that believe, that this is all real. So then, the power of God to thrust in the sickle for the harvest is ripe. Now, let's say 25 years ago, the harvest was not ripe. People wouldn't even listen to the gospel, wouldn't even read a religious book. All they wanted to read was all these funny papers. Amos and Handy was used to be great on the radio. And there was all these other ones. There was many of these. But they was crazy about Amos and Handy. They were crazy about all the world listening. Now, boy, got to turn on Amos and Handy. And it was funny, too. And then they had all these kind of shows. But now, the record shows that there's the majority now. I said the majority of the population of the earth of America is listening to the gospel. Listening to the gospel. Now, used to be, I can remember, when they'd say, I don't want to listen to that preacher there, listening to that. He just wants to get your money, he's just talking about something. I don't believe that stuff. But today, they're listening. According to the records, that when there's a religious song sung on a radio, on a television, or sung on television, everybody will perk up their ears, look at Ernie Ford. Ernie Ford would sing, and the minute he'd sing a religious song, everybody would get real pious, listen to Ford sing a religious song. Isn't that wonderful? They'd say, he always sings a nice religious song after he gets there. People liked it, because they begin to look towards God. And now, of course, you've got all kinds of different ways of presenting the gospel. But now, here we are, going in video, even going on a big picture in Hollywood, a radio, and also by tapes. Now, the tape, they can take it, a cassette tape, and take it way into the interior and carry it with them. They don't have to be turning even the dials to try to get Voice of America. They could just take that tape in there, into the jungle, turn it on, and there they can hear this kind of a message that I'm bringing. This is spectacular communication. One of the greatest communications is by the word of mouth. So then, this is the word of mouth. This is the word of mouth that's happening. The voice, the word of mouth. Now, also the power of the pen. We're sending out thousands and thousands of newsletters. And the power of the pen is still the greatest. Why do you say it's the greatest? I'll tell you why. Because we've sent out tapes, and we've had all kinds of letters. We want to read the book. Now, a lot of people cannot hear, but yet they can read a book, and a lot of people can't see, so they listen to the voice. And therefore, it covers all the necessities that to give the people the communications they need and communicate to all people. Now, a man doesn't read or he doesn't write and he doesn't that, but yet he can speak and he can listen and he can talk and he can understand. So therefore, that's why the tapes are being translated into every language of the world. People out there, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you one thing. The great combustion's about to take place. Now, these angels coming out as I was in the temple in heaven, and this wonderful experience. My soul had left my body. My body was on this ground here in this earth. Now, this is a way and a journey to heaven. That's where your soul goes, to heaven. So in heaven, my soul, your soul can think, hear, speak, and that is the mechanism of your body that causes you to be able to do things that the animal cannot do, the soul of man. Everybody has a soul. That's right. No matter what part of the world you come from, the pygmies have a soul. That's right. The aborigines have a soul. Everybody has a soul. Because God, there's no human upon this earth but what doesn't have a soul. So here's the way you communicate to these people of the world. You communicate to them through and by the Spirit. And they are, man is automatically spiritual. You communicate, get down inside of them where they're living. So then in the temple, I saw these angels being commissioned to come out now in the last days to bring the power of God upon the earth, to thrust in the sickle or the gospel of Jesus Christ to the four corners. How great is God's putting them out now. This is what's happening. And with satellite, we're going on satellite. When? I don't know. God knows we're going on satellite. That's right. We're not going to set a date. But we're going on satellite. When we go on satellite to the five stars up there, we'll be communicating to the whole world by and through satellite. That'll be really going out in the devil's territory. And that's exactly what will it be. Heaven. We're telling all about heaven on satellite. Not only that, but we tell it by tape. We tell it by book. We tell it by television. And it's going out. And just think of all these different communications in full force for God's gospel. Couldn't have happened 100 years ago. No way. Couldn't happen. That man sitting in the jungles of South America, back in there, aborigine, and he's sitting back in there. He'll be able to just sit there and listen to the gospel. Well, he can't read, he can't write, but he can understand his own language. And here all at once he's being taught about heaven. We've got a fantastic machine. It's the most fantastic machine. And this machine, it's powered. All a man sits there and turns a handle, which produces the electric to run the cassette and to run the machinery in order to put the cassette in. And with the loudspeaker part, you can be able to put it out where 1,000 people can hear it. Just this mechanism so fixed. So there's nothing going to stop it. If they don't have power, they'll have the voice. And it'll even be on all different kinds of radio stations, videotape, video, all over. Not only there, it's going all over the world, all over the world in the different languages. But this is an explosion of the gospel of Jesus Christ that I saw in heaven. When I was in temple, worshiping there in heaven, my soul, here they were all worshiping God, and what a power it is in there with those powerful angels, all directed by God, and they will be down here on this earth directing the whole system. And it gets so spectacular and so real that they wonder what the world will wonder what's going on. And it would be such a enticing thing that will entice them to listen. And it will be, ears, the voice of the world will hear. The ears of the world will hear, and it'll be all in unison. And it'll be so tremendous that the whole world will know there's a name called Jesus. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. That's what's going to happen. No stopping of that. That's already happening. Jesus is Lord. Even in very backward jungles of Africa, in the bush, they're chanting now and singing, Jesus is Lord. My, well, that wouldn't happen. So they're portraying and putting their strength to Jesus. They realize he's king, and he is. They realize that he died on the cross. But inside that temple is this great spectacular power to work in. And it's so tremendous in there that in that temple where it comes out from the temple of God, as they look there, God is going to turn those angels out of it, and they're going to come down on this earth and help direct not only me, many others. Going to direct this work of God. They'll open up the door. And the Bible clearly says, I'll send mine angels before thee and give you mouth and wisdom. So instead of an angel come to town, people say, well, I saw an angel last night. I saw an angel. He's around. I saw an angel. And it made me shiver, because it was a supernatural power from heaven. And it's going to stir the world. And here's going to be what's going to happen. It's going to be a great world explosion of revival to the whole world. The dead in Christ is going to rise first. When the dead in Christ rises first, that's after this gospel spread to the four corners of the earth, after it's happened, and after it's gone, it says this gospel must be preached unto all nations, and then the end shall come. The end will come then, my friends. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that you will want to really and truly be ready. Be ready for this great explosion. The river of life, we've talked about the river of life several times. The river of life is this great river. God's going to turn that river, which is the Spirit of God, down on this earth. And these archangels will be working with God. There'll be fire. There'll be the fire angel. There'll be all these different angels down here, reeling, really and truly, causing this whole truth to happen. Even the kings and the queens will know that their rulers, presidents, governors will realize that this great power is working. Imagine a shaking. Maybe like a kind of earthquake. All right, friends, we're with you. God bless you is my prayer. Amen. Good. Yes, friends, in making the second half of this tape, I want to talk tonight how the entrance to heaven is through and by the Spirit. Reading to you from the third chapter of the book of Ephesians, I want to read from the 13th verse if you do have your Bibles. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off and made nigh by the blood of Christ. The entrance into heaven, I'm going to take you into heaven a little bit, is through the blood of Jesus Christ. By Jesus dying upon the cross and made a way into heaven from the horrible things of this earth, which is the flesh. And he goes on the 14th verse, for he is our peace, but made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of perdition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments or ordinances, for to make himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them that are nigh. For through him we both have access unto the Spirit of the Father. This is absolutely the way we go to heaven, is through the Spirit of the living God. When I had this great experience of going into heaven, my body was a vegetable for 6 full days. The journey to heaven was 6 hours and 6 hours back, making it 6 full days that my body was in this coma or being like a vegetable. The soul of the body and the spirit and the soul, body and spirit, the soul, about make three. Three portions of us, the body, the soul, and the spirit. We're automatically spiritual beings upon this earth. It is the natural attribute of man to lean towards something out of the flesh, out of the natural man or the natural person. So then, to be out of the body is to be absent in the Spirit with God. This experience that I had was a wonderful experience. of a actual out-of-body experience. Many people's had out-of-body experiences. I even talked to one man today that came to repair one of our refrigerators. And here's what he said. He had an out-of-body experience happened to him. But when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, or really the Holy Ghost, we're baptized into a spirit world, not a natural world. Now, the natural man in no way can conceive the things of God. Naturally, he can't understand. Naturally, he cannot understand what is beyond the grave or beyond this life. But in order to do that, man must become spiritual and walk as a spiritual person in the Spirit. Many men, all through the Bible records, walked in the Spirit. Abraham did and became a real friend of Melchizedek. There was prophets all through the Old Testament, Isaiah. All of them had spiritual experience with God because they became prophets. Now, they couldn't prophesy in the flesh. They had to have a connection with something spiritual in order to do so. And their connection was with a planet, with God, beyond this earth. And in this wonderful experience these men had, they gave us a record of eternity, a record of something real. And Elijah was so spiritual. He had a real presence of God in his life. He even had a mantle. And he did many miracles and many things through his spiritual life. And he was absolutely so in touch with heaven that God took Elijah to heaven in a chariot. And he put his mantle on Elisha. And Elisha got a double portion of the Spirit of God, doing twice as many miracles as Elijah did, showing a testimony of absolute transferring the Spirit from one to the other. In other words, the word impartation, to part from you the Spirit that dwells in you into the life of another. Now, heaven is a spiritual place and full of spirits. So in order to go there, therefore, you have to be spiritual. You have to become spiritual in order to have an experience in heaven like I did. And for almost 7 years, I prayed, O God, let me see thy glory. And he did. He answered my prayer. And I became absolutely spiritual, full spiritual, and then went into heaven to see Jesus. Now, a natural man naturally is not going to just get up and say, take me to heaven. And then gravity would hold him down. Gravity would hold the body down. So there's no way that body can go unless there is a resurrection. And a resurrection is by and through the power of God and making the body spiritual. Therefore, this is what happened, to Elijah. He became so spiritual that God sent a chariot after Elijah. And he went into heaven. And Paul was very spiritual, too. And he got caught up in the Spirit. He was in the Spirit. And he got caught up in the Spirit. And he went and into the third heaven. He didn't even remember how he went or how he come back. He didn't even know whether he was in the body or what he was in, but he realized he'd gone somewhere. Then we come to the John on Patmos. John on Patmos. He makes a statement. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. It was on the Lord's day he was in the Spirit. And he heard a voice from heaven. He went in the Spirit, started hearing heavenly voices, or from the planet above called heaven. I had the same experience. Became spiritual, so spiritual that I prayed and almost night and day, and God heard my prayer because God listens to the prayer of a righteous man. So therefore, going up in the Spirit to heaven. Now, as I said, we're made of soul, body, and spirit. Therefore, you have a soul inside of you, and your soul can think, hear, speak, do geometry, subtract, because that is what the soul is what makes your body tick. If you were just animal and without the soul, you couldn't do the things you do. Impossible. Because inside of you dwells God. Inside of you dwells even the fullness of the Godhead bodily inside of you. That's what can happen to you. So it was no wonder that Jesus said, "Go unto the upper room and there tarry until ye receive power from on high." And an 120 went. 120 went and obeyed the voice of the command. So they went to the upper room. And when they did, they were there several days, and the Spirit of God came down upon them and sat on them in the form of doves and cloven tongues, and they begin to speak in other tongues. In other words, they begin to speak in a heavenly language. Because they had become spiritual, they were being filled with the Spirit of God and begin to speak God's language. That's how it all happens. So then a baby or a little child learns from the voices of the father and the mother. They begin to imitate and remember the words and speak by listening to their father or their mother or their brother and sister. So they begin to say, "Papa," and then the little boy says, "Papa," "Mama," and the little boy says, "Mama." And that is by imitation. I even had a bird one time, and that bird listened to me, and I said, "Good morning," and the bird said, "Good morning," because that bird could go by sound. Many people can understand by sound, but that's not the Spirit. You see, even the little child, though that little child may say praise God, but the connection of the Spirit of God has to come directly from Him, God. It's not by imitation or not by sound of man, but it's by the divine intervention of God in the life of the human being. So it is so. Here's John, here's Ezekiel, here's all of these, Elisha, and Isaiah. All of these Bible men were spiritual and knew there was a place beyond this earth, knew there was something there because they were in contact and in connection with a supernatural power. Then it tells us in the Bible that many men heard from God and spoke to God and spoke to Him. And we read on through. And through Him we have access by the one Spirit unto the Father, through Jesus Christ. The access to God, or the real connection to God, is through Jesus. So then when you receive the infilling Holy Ghost, then you can say Jesus Lord, for no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Then you begin to get faith about heaven. This is what happened to me. I begin to realize there must be a place beyond this earth. And they called it heaven. And it was heaven, a planet. I begin to realize that God had created a place for us to dwell after death when He come alive. And we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all have been building fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. You see what it is? It's actually growing up into the Spirit to become a temple of God, to be a temple of Him. And the Bible also says, "Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost?" So then we become a temple of God. We come with faith to Him to know there's something different than what's upon this earth, that there's a place. So then you begin to have faith in eternity, of faith in a place beyond this earth, which I did. That's really there. There's really something there. So then I begin to enjoy the visions of heaven, begin to enjoy the glories and the powers of God, begin to enjoy the feelings of heaven, begin to have visitation of angels, begin to have visitation of heavenly beings, begin to see faces before me, begin to see the spirits, begin to see there was something different than just the natural voice or the natural mind could comprehend. But the natural mind cannot comprehend the great Spirit of God. Impossible. So therefore, you become spiritual by being filled with the Spirit or being filled with the Holy Ghost. Then your mind begins to contact eternity. No natural mind can contact eternity because there is no connection. There's no telephone in your natural mind between here and eternity. But when you have spiritual blessings from heaven, you become men and women of faith. And you begin to contact heaven. You begin to realize that there's something definitely served. So it's heaven. So that's what happened to me. I became so filled with God and the Spirit. I began to contact heaven and communicate with heaven. Communicate with the planet heaven. What a wonderful time I had for almost 7 years communicating with heaven. My faith built up so much that I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that there was a heaven and there is a heaven. I began to get faith. This place must be somewhere beyond this earth, somewhere up there, where I'd been told as a little boy my mother was up there, but I didn't understand where up there was. But as I begin to understand the spiritual life, being baptized into the spirit world, I begin to realize within my soul that there was a place of eternity where the souls of man dwelt, where this planet was. So I begin to exercise more faith as I begin to get these visions and dreams and real connections with heaven. My faith became so high and so became so real, I knew I was going to go someday. I knew that I was going to go. And that was my contact with eternity, my contact with the angels, my contact with God, my contact with the spiritual beings, my contact with super angels, my contact with Jesus himself, my contact with God, talking to God, gave me great faith to know beyond a shadow of doubt he's going to call me there. And my faith became so real that I became excited about going. And it happened one day, as I've told you, there in the after 10 days of wonderful prayer and convocation and enjoying God, we started up. So here I am, spiritually speaking, with my soul going into heaven, among spiritual beings, among people of heaven, among the prophets, among Elijah, Elisha, and among Jesus, and among all these men that were in the Bible, because they were there, and thousands of others, not mentioned in the Bible, thousands and thousands of others coming back from out of eternity, not even mentioned in the Bible. So as I went in heaven, a spiritual soul able to communicate inside of heaven. Of course, I learned God's language down here on this earth, which you can learn it. Now, but you're washed in the blood. To be baptized in the Spirit is a different picture altogether. You're baptized into a spirit world, and this is where you understand God's language, talking to God in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost, you get the connection with heaven. So then, when I got inside of heaven, I could talk their language, because it already talked in the Spirit, because heaven's a spiritual place and talk in the Spirit. So I got inside of heaven, and I was able to communicate with the beings on the planet heaven, be able to contact with them through the Spirit of God in their heavenly language. They begin to tell me many things as I talk to them inside of heaven. This great city of God that I was speaking about in the last tape, with the wonderful, beautiful things of heaven. So I was immediately accepted and immediately began to converse with them, asking questions, became one of them in heaven in just a very few seconds, because I understand and already was a part of them. So when I begin to converse with Paul first, I talked to him through a spiritual language, and he answered me back through the Spirit. I wasn't talking to him in English. He didn't understand English. No way. But he understood the spiritual language of God, the spiritual language of heaven, which I had learned upon this earth, which I had learned upon this earth. So I begin to talk with him. Now here I was in heaven talking to the Apostle Paul, and he seemed to make no excitement about it, because he knew that he'd come in there and that be that part of heaven, I must be able to converse, because there was no dumb people inside of heaven. Everybody was able to speak, talk, think, and do what they wanted. In talking to him, I learned some very wonderful things about his ministry upon this earth. Going over to Abraham, which was many, many years before Paul, when he was there working among his people, this man which had descendants, according to the Bible, as the sands of the sea, I began to talk to Abraham. Wasn't it wonderful to talk to Abraham inside of heaven, way over there, almost to the gates of heaven? There was Abraham with his followers, and his followers were beggars. That was the ones that belonged to the Abraham, was beggars. And I talked to him, and then after that, now here we are. Now you might go to a foreign country, you might go some other place, and you might find you're unable to speak to them. You go to Turkey and you only speak English, you're in trouble if you don't speak the Turkish language, because they'll just look at you and walk away from you, can't speak Turkish. And it's the same way in many of the African countries, like, for instance, the Pygmies, for instance, the Bantus, and many others, and the Zulus. My, what a people are those Zulus. You could see them with their swords and their sabers and all their fighting tools. The British used them a lot in their battles. The Zulus were brought into some of the battles against the sea. And when those Zulus started coming, I tell, things, blood began to fly. That's exactly right, because they were trained soldiers and a part of the British Army. That's right. And they really, really and truly, when they saw these men coming with their spears and so forth, I tell you, the enemy would flee because they never saw anything like that before. So then, but yet the Zulu and yet the Bantu and yet the man can be brought into a place and learn God's language. That's the most wonderful part about it. And when they get to heaven, they in there, the soul, they do not have to have an interpreter to talk to you, because you both learn and know God's language. So it's wonderful in there to be able to speak to all the people of all the nations of the world in one language. Back in Babel, they're all in one language. And there at Pentecost, they learned all the languages of the world then and spoke in an unknown language. So here we are in heaven communicating with the people. Then when my mother came and Jesus came and Mother the Mary of Jesus, we all four spoke the same language. Here was my angel to the left, my super angel, my archangel to the right. And so all of us, six of us, can communicate together in heaven's language. That is communication. Now, after talking with Jesus, who said to me in his heavenly language, Percy, I love you, and my mother, which said in heavenly language, we all knew you were coming. It was not in English. No way. It was not in English because the mother, the Mary of Jesus, would not, because she never spoke English. See, there's your difference. And neither did Abraham. Didn't speak English. But I understood to talk to Abraham, talk to Mary, talk to Jesus, and talk to all of them. Then after that, as we got over to the city four square and up on the top of the great mass of these chariots up there, there was angels up there. So there we went up there, and I was able to talk to the angels. It was not just spiritual for us to talk to them. And the angel come over and talk to me in God's language, and I understood God's language. Then going up before God, God spoke God, heavenly language. Jesus spoke the heavenly language. And then also did all of the angels speak God's language. So then the martyrs underneath the throne of God that have been killed upon this earth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, when I went up there, we talked God's language. We didn't talk English. We didn't talk French. We didn't talk Russian. We talked the language of heaven. And the language of heaven is one heavenly language. One heavenly language. So then, when we went to the banqueting house, and I talked to the little woman that was dead on the streets of Cali, Colombia, with her two little children, when I spoke to her, I didn't spoke to her in Spanish. I spoke to her in God's language, and she answered me back in God's language, because she had to learn God's language before she went before the throne of God. She received the baptism of the Holy Ghost before she went. That's why she could talk inside of heaven. Exactly why. So then, also going to the different parts of heaven, we begin to talk God's language. So all of these martyrs coming out from before the throne of God all sang and spoke in God's language. Here they were murdered. They were all in one great unison of a mass of souls that had been killed, persecuted, and killed, and got on the way to heaven because they were martyrs. So here we could talk to them in the most wonderful way. Also, beside talking to them, we talked to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost talked God's language. And so did the other one. So did other people there that God had made it in. Talked God's language in the temple. God's language used in the temple. And you could listen to the singing, and all the singing was in God's language. So there's no language barrier when you go there. If you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you don't get in there unless you speak God's language. You have to learn it up there. So then, because it was no use of somebody going there just washed in the blood and able to sing in God's language, not being able to do it, that would be awful. In other words, they wouldn't understand the beauty of singing is what's going on. So there, if you're filled with the Spirit, you get in. You're no stranger in there. Not when you're filled with the Spirit of God. You get in there and you begin to understand all the operation of heaven. It's the most wonderful operation of heaven you ever saw. Now, there's also the wonderful songs, and they're all, you understand them all. Then on the sea of glass, you hear them singing the sea of glass, same thing. Then you see them on the river of life. Angels everywhere, all speaking God's language. After this, after being in this first part of the entrance into heaven, we begin to get closer to God and worship God in a more close way, calling to Him, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, about Jesus and all these songs we were singing as we walked along before the throne of God. I begin to talk to other people. But then we journeyed there in among the mansions before the throne of God, Smith Wigglesworth, and also Bishop Mason, Church of God in Christ, and also there was many there, including Amy McPherson, including many of the evangelists. We didn't speak English, we didn't speak French, we didn't speak Russian, we didn't speak German. But every one of us knew God's language. That was the most wonderful part. So it was so easy to talk God's language inside of heaven. Talking to Amy McPherson, very wonderful, as she began to speak and talk God's language. Talking to the many of them, talking to them about heaven, about God, about this earth, and what happened down, all in God's language. Isn't that wonderful to know God's language? One of the most wonderful things that happened to me in heaven was going into the place where they were making the wedding garments. Here was a 10,000 square mile of sewing machines. Well, not actually the sewing machines with no singers down here, but here was a conglomeration of cloth going into the hands of the angels. And here they were with needles, fine needles, sewing the seams together so beautiful, yet it was cloth spirit. It was God's mantle upon these people. And everyone is made according to the size of the soul that's coming up. Stitches, beautiful, all embroidered by the beautiful handiwork of the angels. When you come up from the rapture to be in the wedding supper of the Lamb, you'll come with your hands in your air, in the air. And as you do, your wedding garment will come floating down from heaven. And automatically your arms will go up through the sleeves and through the hole in the front. And the dress will fall over your head, the wedding garment fall over your head. And you'll be completely clothed to attend the wedding supper of the Lamb. Now, it's going to be singing at the wedding supper of the Lamb. And that's in the air, right in the midair where God sends out the city four squared out to outer space and bring it out there. And when it's there, when we go inside to worship God. And the wedding supper of the Lamb, the ceremony, will be done in God's language. There will be Jesus, who paid the price on Calvary. And there will be the saints of God. And there will be all the officials of heaven there in the air. And the crown, the church, or the body of Christ, the raptured church, the saints, the redeemed, will hold that crown. we will hold that crown. And Jesus' head will show there. We place that crown upon the head of Jesus. And he will be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There will be no other king above him, because his name will be spoken all over the world. That every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Christ the Lord. Oh, what a time that will be. Where we will be with our wedding garments around Jesus.